Okay, thank you very much, Mr. West Tuttle. We appreciate that very much. Let's begin with a word of prayer. Well, first of all, let's talk about some prayer requests. And Judah's brother Ron is sort of a hold pattern right now. That'd be good. Okay. Judah's daughter is a good friend of a family, and their 13-year-old son, Ethan, has been fighting the same type of problem that Thomas has been fighting for 4 years, and it's not looking very good for him right now.
No, he's in hospice.
He's in hospice, so... let's be in prayer for Ethan and Ethan's entire family at this time. Be in prayer for Thomas. And any other prayer requests that I'm not... Yes?
We have a remote listener, Judy, who will be 90 years old tomorrow.
Wow.
But is not expected to live.
Now, who is this?
Judy.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Be in prayer for her family. And also, Dana Reynolds is very close to going home to be with the Lord. He's about the same kind of condition. And so be in prayer for Dana's family. And
Julie.
All right. All right. Be in prayer for Julie and her family. You know, it's one of those kind of things. It's a dying process, because once they're home with the Lord, it's hallelujah, and let's party. But getting there is a rough journey for a lot of people. Yes, Kit. I have not heard any more news on Courtney, and I talked to John today, and I forgot to ask him. I'm sorry. It's a good question. Huh? No. No, she did not have to go, and she's slowly recovering, got over. So I'm assuming, since John hasn't said anything, she's doing okay, but I don't know. I'll check that out. And thank you for asking. Okay, let's begin with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, there is so much going on in the world involving your Son, involving the gospel, the attack of it. We're studying some of these things in Daniel. And Father, we just pray your Spirit will open our eyes tonight to things you'd have us to see and to understand. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. My 17-year-old granddaughter asked me a question. And so I went into my office and got to work. And I decided to share it tonight here with things that I gave her. And Jim, will you pass these out for me? And... We just got to realize, people, something that our president does not realize, and that is who the enemy is. And we just simply do not recognize that the Muslims are the enemy, and he will not do that. And of course, I'm not surprised that he will not. It's been pointed out every year since he has been president that during some time month long holiday for the Muslims, he does not wear any watch or his wedding ring, and they're always being fixed. And boy, he has more trouble with the wedding ring than anybody I know. And I think all of this is indicative of his what's going on in his soul. He will not recognize who the enemy is. And she had a speaker come into the school, and she said she was more confused after the speaker than she was before. And so I wrote down some thoughts for her, and then I gave the information to James, and so that's why it's fixed up in this production type of form. So let's just go through And two things now. First of all, as we go through this, if you have any comment, correction, addition, or any other question that stems from this one, let me know. Let's get into it. So, understanding the Muslims. Now, this is a brief, very brief synopsis, so that we have just a handle on things that you may not have had a handle on. And any one of these paragraphs could be 50 pages. So just remember that. All I want to do is give you a understanding. And so let's take a look now at what we got. All Muslims are worshipers of Allah. And James, what is that you've got written there? Okay. Allah, a false god, who is one of the hundreds of false gods in the time of Abraham in the Ur of the Chaldees, which is the area in which Muhammad was, in that area. So he was familiar with these gods. And circa 2000 would be Muhammad. Allah was the moon god, picked out by Muhammad as the god, and therefore the half moon symbol used by the Muslims. And so James found a little thing here, and the star, a star for stars and crescent, featuring in some combination from the basis of symbols widely found across the ancient world, with examples attested from the Eastern Mediterranean, Persia, and Central Asia. During the 19th century, it represented the Ottoman Empire. The Ottoman flag of 1844, with a white Turkish star crescent on a red background, continues to be in use on the flag of the Republic of Turkey. Other successor states of the Ottoman Empire also used the symbol, including Libya, 51 to 69, and to after 2011, Tunisia, 1956, Algeria, 1958. The same symbol was used in other national flags introduced during the 20th century, including the flags of Azerbaijan and Pakistan, Malaysia, and Mauritania. 1959. During the 50s and 60s, the symbol was reinterpreted as symbols of Islam or the Muslim community. By the 70s, this symbolism was embraced by movements of Arab nationalism or Islamism, such as the proposed Arab Islamic Republic and the American Nation of Islam. And so that just kind of gives you a little quick brief idea on that respect. And I appreciate James adding that material. Okay. All Muslims are under the authority of the Quran. The Quran was written by Muhammad and sets up a world rule by Muslims. It demands that you kill all who do not believe in Allah, especially Jews and Christians, as well as the nation of America and the remaining nations of the free world. They are the enemy of Islam. Any free country is the enemy of Islam, but America doesn't know that, doesn't want to recognize that. And I'm not just talking about the president, I'm talking about a lot of our leaders. They just simply will not recognize it. Okay, Muhammad, very brief. I mean, this could be books. Muhammad was born circa 570 A.D., died in 632 A.D., had 11 to 13 wives and an unknown number of concubines. He was sex-crazed. He claimed he had the sexual prowess of 30 men. Some of his wives were in their early teens. Today he would be called a pedophile. He led many raids in which he killed Arabs as well as Jews. Now, you do a study on him, and this is the kind of stuff you read, the raids, the murders, the assassinations, the rapes, and you know, we talk about Jones, and boy, the TV makes him to be a very bad person. I mean, Muhammad would be right there with him. and he would go in and he would wipe out a people, but he would take the young girl that he thought was beautiful and bring them into his harem. And it was all about sex, period. That's what it was about. Okay, Muslims. A Muslim is a follower of Islam, or one who follows Muslim ideology, both political and religious. People, it's not a political or religious organization. It's political, religious, social. It dominates. You can't give them any kind of a privilege in America because they're religious. They're political. And they're anti the political system in this country. But we just don't want to recognize all of that. Okay, Islamic. What does that mean? The word Islamic means submission to Allah. And Islamic is one who is related to the Islamic world. Now, the word submitting to Allah, I didn't put it in here, but it's a developing word. The word really came from the Arabic, meaning a war hero. And then it became used to submission to Allah. It moved into that definition. So that's what the word Islamic means, submission to Allah. Okay, other Islamic terms that are thrown around may be confused. You may know all of this stuff. But I just wanted to get it to us so we could have an idea. All right, first of all, jihad is a war or struggle against all unbelievers in Allah. And any war is justified. Any killing is justified. Muhammad set that up. His raids of killing Jews, killing Arabs, killing people, and caravans, it's all justified. Allah can lie. Allah does not. See, our God is true. But Allah can lie. Allah can do whatever he wants. He's not under any kind of authority, nor in his own essence. So this is the being of Allah, and the jihad is a war or struggle against all unbelievers in Allah. Caliphate, an Arabic meaning succession, is an Islamic state led by supreme religious and political leader known as a caliph. This is a successor to Muhammad. And there's one of the little problems. You know, when you talk about the Muslim world and the Islamic world, I hate to use this illustration, but it's not that far different than Christianity. You got the Catholics and the Protestants, and in the Protestants you got everybody fighting and all of this. So you have a lot of different levels. And what brought me to that point is that there are various people who claim to be a successor to Muhammad. Yes, sir. Yeah. So. Yeah. So it's just, this is the kind of thing we got set up with the Muslims. Okay. Muslim Brotherhood. The Muslim Brotherhood was founded in Egypt by Hasan al-Banna in March of 1928 as an Islamist religious, political, and social movement. Forget all that religion stuff. It's political, religious, and they say so. They are the Muslim Brotherhood, the philosophical head of all Muslims. Islam, or Muslim, is a political, religious, and social organization seeking to control the whole world. It is not just religious. It is not just political. It is a combination of both. It's much like communism. Communism involved every aspect of being. So does the Islam. So does the Muslims. So that gives you an idea when you hear the word brotherhood, who they were, where they came from, and this type of deal. Okay. Being used, this is where a lot of confusion comes in. You might read the paper, hear the news. All right. ISIS. ISIS. ISIS stands for Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. That's what ISIS stands for. The Islamic State in Iraq and Syria. The ISIS group are under the Muslim Brotherhood, who simply carry out the dictates of the Muslim Brotherhood. They're associated with the Muslim Brotherhood. The acronym is also given as ISIS, I-S-I-S, the Islamic State of Iraq and Sham. Okay, now you hear that? The term Sham refers to a region stretching from southern Turkey through Syria to Egypt, including Lebanon, Israel, the Palestinian territories, and Jordan. The group stands, stated goal is to restore an Islamic state or caliphate in this entire area and then in the entire world. That's their goal. That's their objective. And that's what they're seeking to do in every country in the world. They're there. Obama refers to them as ISIL, if you've ever heard it that recently. I-S-I-L. What does that mean? I-S-I-L. The L stands for Levant, which refers to all Palestinian territory mentioned above. The standard English term for this territory is the Levant, which is why Obama uses the acronym ISIL. And it refers, the Levant includes all of this area. Therefore, Obama, when he uses this, has in his mind, does not recognize the state of Israel. It's an Islamic territory. It's an Islamic state. Viewed by Muslims as ruling the world will be an Islamic state. And Jane put in here a map called the Levant, and you'll notice the red there takes in Israel. It does not recognize Israel. It does not recognize Turkey. It does not recognize Jordan. This is all part of the Islamic State, and this is what they're heading for. And they're going to try to set this up as the Islamic State, and the UN is not fighting this. The UN is not resisting this. The United States is playing, you know, verbal resistance, but nothing else, really. And so this is the trouble that we're in. Now, I just hope that some of these things kind of clarify this for you. Any questions on this? Yes. Yeah. Allah. The God. All right. So, yes. It's just to define the terms. Define the terms.
So many people think Allah is the God of the Bible.
Yeah, they do, and He's not. No, she just asked questions, and I just sat down and started answering questions that I had and that a lot of people have. What do all of these things mean? Did you know all of those? Yeah, some of them, but yeah.
I said. I didn't know the difference between ISIL and
ISIS. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. Didn't catch it. Yeah. Yeah. Yes, sir.
ISIL.
Has what?
In check.
Well, I don't know what that means.
Don't have to worry about
them. Yeah, right. Yeah, right. Yeah, strategy. He doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
only thing you have to worry about. But Obama's, of course, not worrying about it because he's already included it in the Islamic State. It's not a free nation. I don't know. I don't know, but she just said she was more confused. As I sat down, I just thought I'd share this with y'all and give you some ideal and definitions and some terms and things like that. And so hope that it helped a little bit in regard to having an understanding of these things, which I didn't know the ASL, and I knew ISIS, but the ASL and the importance of that.
ISIL.
And yeah. Did you know all this? Huh? So you knew all this? All right, good. All right. Well, this is just a thought. Give you a little heads up on a lot of different things in that respect.
Are you going to mention about the interview with college?
Oh, these are really wonderful if you know how to use them. If you knew what you were doing. I had a couple of things I wanted to show you, and I'm not going to talk about one of them because I do want to get it fixed up where I can show you. But another one was this guy went to a college campus in Florida, and he was just standing there on a college campus, and he said, I have a petition here, and what we want to do is we want to support the ISIS. And we don't want to bomb them. We want to, bombing doesn't solve, war doesn't solve anything. So we're just saying, and college students just signing away. And I won't tell you how James identified college students today, but it was just amazing how ignorant people are. Oh yeah, one of the students, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Pointed his finger and walked off, and he let him have it. So he kind of knew what was going on, and and unfortunately, and a lot of them wanting to go and serve on there, serve with them, and all this kind of thing. People, this is, we're living some difficult times, and When the world is just stupid, and it chooses to be stupid. People are choosing to be stupid. And being wise, they became fools. I like to change that. Being wise, they choose to be fools. And but this is... No. All they knew about ISIS was those are the guys that cut off heads. And we don't want that. Do what? Yes. Yeah, that's it. A lot of the world is looking for something and someone to believe in. That's another video I do have, and I want to show it later. Yeah. So. That's what they did in the Spanish Inquisition. That same type of thing. Okay. I just want to spend a few moments of our time just getting that solid and understanding. It's not meant to be an exhortation, just an identification of the various subject matters and things. And John Hens helped me, and so Google helped me. And so, all right. Wednesday night. Okay. We now move between death and burial. Between them. Between death and burial. Things are going to happen between Jesus Christ's death and his burial that it's now time to take a look at. So let's first of all open to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23. Now, just to kind of refresh you where we are. Verse 44, it was about the ninth hour, sixth hour, noon, and darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour, 3 o'clock. The sun being obscured, and the veil of the temple was torn in two. So we have to take a look at that, when that happened. And Jesus crying out with a loud voice, Father, unto thy hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. Okay, salvation is paid for in full. No works, nothing but faith. And then we have the prayer of faith. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. And so he committed his spirit to the Father. Having said this, Jesus Christ, in full cognizance, he breathed his last. Now, this is an aorist active indicative. Point in time has happened in history. The indicative mood denotes history of ek panao. The ek is a compound preposition which means from, and neo, to breathe out or to breathe forth, to expire, to die. Alright, now with that in mind, let's look at Mark 15. Mark 15. Mark 15, verse 37. Verse 36, again to get you into this whole momentum. And someone ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a reed, and gave it to him to drink, saying, Let us see whether Elijah will come and to take him down. Remember, we studied that, how they thought he was calling to Elijah. Okay. Verse 37. And Jesus uttered a loud cry. All right, now what's a loud cry? Father, unto thy hands I commit my spirit. And thou hast ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth. We studied that from Psalm. Now, Jesus Christ is from God of truth. Therefore, Jesus Christ declares in John 14, I am the truth. When he said God of truth, he's from the God of truth. He is truth. Okay, Mark 15:37. And Jesus uttered a loud cry, and to thy hands I commit my spirit. Thou hast ransomed me, O Lord, God of truth, and breathed his last. Now, like Matthew, Mark uses the aorist active indicative of the same verb to breathe out his spirit to the Father. Now, let's look at Matthew. Matthew chapter 27. Matthew 27. Somewhere in our study of Daniel, you're going to be real familiar with Daniel 24 on. But right now, we'll just jump to chapter 27, which deals with the crucifixion. And let's look at verse 27 and verse 50. But let's just get to where we are. Verse 49, but the rest of them said, Let us see whether Elijah will come to him. And save him, deliver him. And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice. And this is the loud voice. Matthew doesn't say what Christ cried out, but we know what it is. Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Thou hast ransomed me, O Lord God of truth. Then Matthew says, and yielded up his spirit. Now, what I'm showing you here is Luke and Mark. He said that he breathed his last. Now, Matthew says he yielded up the spirit. We have an aorist active indicative, aorist tense, point in time, boom, all of that. The indicative mood is reality, historical reality, aphiemi, to send away, let go from oneself, and plus the word the breath. Or the spirit, pneuma, P-N-E-U-M-A. So he sent forth. This is really, I like what Matthew did. He sent forth his spirit. God, Christ says that kind of control. He sent forth his spirit. And it's a little different, well, it's much different, than if you and I are about to die and we know it. We're dying, we couldn't die. And we just say, I sent forth my spirit. But that's not like what Jesus Christ did. He had the authority to send his spirit to the Father. And that's what he did. So Matthew says, and yielded up his spirit. That is, he breathed or sent out, let go his spirit. He sent forth his spirit. This is the same word used when Jesus cried out, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Now it says that this is what he does. He sent forth his spirit. Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Now I send my spirit. That's what he's doing on the cross. And with this, he will die. Sent forth his spirit to the Father. All right, let's look at John 19. John 19. And we want to look at verse 30. John 19, verse 30. Okay. 29, a jar full of wine was standing there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine upon a branch of hyssop and brought it up to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the sour wine, he said, it is finished. And he does not talk about, I commit my spirit, O God, to truth. He just says, it is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. Okay, so this is the aorist participle, to bow his head, aorist participle. Now, why the aorist participle? It precedes the action of the main verb. So if you have a line going this way, the first thing he did was he bowed his head, and then he gave up his spirit. So the aorist participle is the word kleno, to incline, to bend downward. The aorist participle precedes the actual main verb. What's the main verb? Gave up his spirit. Remember that John is right there under the cross. He witnessed this. He gave up his spirit. And where we're going to go from this in our study, not in the John passage, but in the Matthew passage. So let's go back to the Luke passage. So let's go back to Luke 23. Luke 23, I just kind of taking a view of what each one of them had to say and the way they worded it. All right, Luke 23, verse 46. And Jesus, crying out with a loud voice, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. And having this, he breathed his last. Verse 47. Now, when the centurion saw what had happened, he began praising God, saying, certainly this man was innocent. All the crowds who came together for this spectacle, when they observed what had happened, began to return, beating their breasts. This is a Jewish custom. They just, I don't know what's going on. They're just taken with emotion, and they're just losing emotional control. Verse 49, and all his acquaintances and the women who accompanied him from Galilee were standing at a distance seeing these things. So it gives us some added information. Now, this is one of those few times in my 40 years in the ministry, I thought this was going to take longer. And I'm not going to stand up here and fake it. And we will resume at this point next Wednesday night and see if we can get him off the cross. And I told John, I said, we're about to get him off the cross. And he said, well, God talked to me about you keeping him on, keeping his son on the cross so long. He said, how can I get on with my plan if he's going to keep my son on the cross? So we'll get him off the cross and get him buried, and we'll study some things in regard to the tomb. and that type of thing. Okay, let's go. Did you have a question? All right, let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, there are so many things in our world. We live in a society that is totally immoral, a society that by and large has rejected you, abandoned your son, abandoned your book. So many things going on, Heavenly Father, in our own country in regards to the gospel. But Heavenly Father, there are those in this society who want to know the truth. Therefore, we are compelled to give the gospel to individuals that we know and to strangers. Yes, it will be rejected by many, but there are those there who need Jesus Christ and know it, who want to hear the truth, and we have that information. So, Father, I pray that in this world of turmoil, the Muslim power going on all over the world, the decline of the influence of the Bible, the influence of you and of your Son, that Heavenly Father, the challenge comes to us, will we stand for Christ or will we back off? Will we be ashamed of the gospel? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God unto salvation. So, Father, here's our weapon. Here's our power. And, Father, we pray that you'll take the things we've seen tonight, even in the study of the Muslims who are the enemies of Christ, the enemies of Christianity, and, Father, that we will understand that we have something more powerful than them inside of us. It's the power of your Spirit. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name and for his glory. Amen.